we've been experiencing an amazing service, and we've heard testimony from a young lady that was moved to Mexico and to minister and to love, and we got to see a video of the children that are receiving that kind of love. That's just amazing to see love in action. You know, and then we heard some testimonies from people here in the church about how prayer has impacted their life and how, to me, love has impacted their life. And so we're going to talk today about love. And I'm going to try to keep it simple. Try to not make it more complicated than it already is in this world. You know, the world defines love in ways, I think, that distract us from what real love is. I think the world creates expectations that are just not realistic. And you know, the number one cause today in America for divorce and for couples breaking up is, you know, finances are tough and infidelity is tough, but these pale in comparison to this one thing. There is an expectation gap. People are expecting this, and what they feel they're receiving from their spouse is this. And the expectation gap is the challenge. The spouse may be doing things that are not terrible or wrong or out of a bad heart, but what's expected and what's being received are different. And so it creates challenge. And when it's brought up in a way that the person that's not meeting expectation doesn't know how to respond. You know, we receive love in so many different ways. Some of us receive love and feel love when we receive a gift. Others feel loved and appreciated when kind words are spoken. Some of us experience love with the touch. You know, there's all kinds of different ways that we experience love. But what we've grown to understand what true love is may not be what true love is. And so we're going to talk about it today in the context of what I've seen in my life, what I've read about in the Bible, and some words that John in the Bible shares with us. Okay? I don't have my clicker, so I'm going to count on my friend in the back to click to the next slide, please. There's a couple things I want to explore. What is love built on? How do John's words reveal love? And can we know true love? Let me start with the prayer, if that's okay. Good morning, Jesus. I know there's nothing better than feeling loved. Nothing sweeter than knowing that despite all of my quirks and my things I don't do right, I'm still loved. But Lord, I know that there are those here, there are those that are listening to these words that don't feel loved. They feel rejected and alone. And I pray that today your words will reach them and that real love they will know. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is love built on? Last week we talked about hope. And one of the things we talked about with hope was that hope is trust. And trust is an earned thing, okay? But sometimes I think we might confuse some things and think that, you know, hope is love. And love must be earned. And I think that that's a challenge. I think that's one of the things the world talks about. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love to climb the tallest tree in our yard. And I would climb to the top. And I grew up in Illinois, and Illinois is flat. And to me, that's beautiful. And I could get into the top of this tree, and I could see for miles. I could see for miles. And I would climb the tree, and it was challenging. because to get in the tree above the other trees, I had to get on some smaller branches and move to some smaller branches, and it took me a while to get up there, and it was always kind of sketchy, and I'd get up there, and I'd be holding on in the top of the tree, and I'd be looking around, and the breeze would go, and I'd be swaying back and forth, and be looking around just in awe, and it's different up there, and the sense I had was wonderful, and it was a sense of awe. And I really felt something. And so I was drawn up there all the time. I think sometimes when I was younger and when I was looking for what I thought love was, I wanted that same kind of feeling, right? That sense of awe, that sense of just swaying in the breeze, that feeling of freedom and joy. And what I experienced and saw, you know, through those early dating relationships was not that. No, it wasn't that at all. It was more like the experience where I fell out of the tree and broke my arm. That's much more what it was like. And so world and love and what we expect and what we want, there's all kinds of things out there. But what is love built on? The world says this. Can you click the slide? Thank you. The world says this about love. Love is an intangible connection between two people that feels exceptionally good. That's how they are now. Because I went on the internet and said, what's the best description of love? And Google says, this is the best description of love. And this is somebody's quote. An intangible connection between two people that feels exceptionally good. But what happens when that love doesn't feel so good? Then it's not love. Is no longer love when it doesn't feel exceptionally good. I mean, if love is defined this way, do we end up chasing this exceptionally good feeling? Do we look for things? Is love like going to Disney World and getting in line and getting on the ride and feeling that fun? And then the ride's over. And so you get into the next line. And then you get into the next line. And sometimes you get a speed pass and move quickly to the next line. But it's all waiting for that next exceptionally good feeling. Love, in the dictionary, is described as this. It's a noun. A feeling of strong or constant affection for a person. Attraction that includes sexual desire. The strong affection felt by people who have a romantic relationship. Or a person you love in a romantic way. So it's defined as a feeling. It's defined as attraction and sexual desire. It's defined in a romantic way. I mean, is that what you've been kind of taught? Is that kind of what the world puts out there? Is that the world's best as far as love? I mean, what if we had a lens to look at this? I would say that this is a self-centered view of love. I would say the world's view is a very self-centered view of love. And I think it comes down to, what do I need? What do I want? What makes me feel loved? And so it's a self-centered view of love. But I think that we need to understand it differently. I think that we need to look at it not from a selfish point of view, but from a selfless point of view. We need to look at it as a giver of love and not a receiver of love. I think if we want to understand what true love is, we need to understand that love is a gift. That love is a gift to give and to receive. Love should move us from an I perspective, a me perspective, to a we perspective. That you understand love not as something to be consumed by you, but something to be shared in a relationship. I believe that true love is selfless and involves a sacrifice. I think there's real joy in receiving a selfless kind of love, a sacrificial kind of love. I explained a little bit about, you know, my dad last week and the way I saw some things in him. My mom, on the other hand, showed me things differently. She showed me a sacrificial kind of love, in the way that she cared for us, in the way that she provided for us, in the way that she would always give her very best and want the very, very best for us. And so I learned early on through my parents that there was a different standard for love. And so I know that not everybody had that kind of love growing up. They grew up in an environment where there was strings attached, where there might have been guilt attached, where love was more of a reward, you know? And so we've been trained up in the ways that sometimes we train puppies. You do this, you get a treat. If you, you know, act this way, you get a treat. And so we respond in that way, right? And so that's not what love is. And so what we have to understand is love is a gift. And if we want to experience true love, we have to be able to give true love. So how do John's words reveal love? We've been looking at the words of John as he portrays to us his experience with Jesus. John traveled with him. He spent time with him. He knew him firsthand. And what I want us to look at today is, even though we have this worldly perspective on love, John was able to see a godly perspective of love. He was able to see it through the things that Christ did, that Jesus did, the things that Jesus said. And he was able to experience love that was different. You know, a lot of times the world's view is kind of a perverted view, right? And it seeks this extreme amount of pleasure, an extreme amount of me. It really is designed in a way that it's almost transactional. And I want to get the most bang for my buck in a lot of ways. And when we look for stuff for us, and what John was seeing was something completely different. He heard words about love that were completely different. He saw Jesus minister to people with need in a different way. He sought to love them and forgive them. He sought to spend time with them. And so we've got some things we're going to look at now. I want to look at the first verse, if we can, today from John that we're going to look at. And most of you have heard this verse. And so I'm not speaking anything that's new and crazy today, but I want to read this for you. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So what does that mean? What does that reveal about godly love? He loved was where he started. He was motivated by his love. God so loved the world that he gave the most precious thing that he had. That Jesus so loved the world that he said, "Yes, Dad, I will go and love on these people." John saw Jesus love the world. John saw Jesus give his life for the world. And that was done not for a temporary feeling. That was not done for a temporary feel-good for us, but so we would not perish, but so we would have an everlasting love, a long-lasting love, a love that was not something that we paid to go on the ride for, and then when it was over, we just wanted the next ride. We need to go on a bigger roller coaster. We need to go on a faster ride. We wanted more and more and more. It's not that kind of deal. What it is an everlasting love. Go ahead, next slide, please. Can we know true love? I want to talk about something. I think we have a barrier to true love. I think there's things that get in the way of our love. I talked about the expectation gap, right? I talked that what we expect from love and what we get in love are two different things. And I think that when your relationship long enough, sometimes you understand that what you thought you were getting into wasn't very realistic. You know, it wasn't going to be, you know, happiness all the time. It wasn't going to be giddy with butterflies every time. It wasn't going to be like the first time you held hands and you went, you know, and so we still get that sometimes, but it's farther and farther away. We get so distracted with busyness and life, and now there's something that's deeper in that touch. There's something more meaningful. There's experience. There's some hurt involved that you've overcome together. There's an understanding that despite all of my junk, despite all of the things I think I'm doing for good that end up off base, I'm still loved. I've been forgiven for things. There's still a desire to care for me despite all those things. And so love is not butterflies, but it's much better now. So how can we know true love? Let me look at the next verse here and we'll talk about it. John 3:17 is my favorite verse. In the whole Bible, this is my favorite verse. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Why is that my favorite verse? It follows the fact that out of love, he was motivated and sent his Son. And this is the very next verse, that he sent him not to condemn the world, but to save the world. What does that mean? You know, John saw God's love through this light, through this lens. He didn't see condemnation in what Jesus did. When he met people, the world had condemned them. They were sinners, they were tax collectors, they were not up to standard, they weren't religious, they did things wrong. And Jesus said, I'm going to go to their house. I'm here for them. They were not condemned. You know, there's times in my life when I've been condemned by people. They treated me as though I was a building that had lost its usefulness. It was no longer safe. It was no longer productive. We might as well just tear it down. It has no use. Did they really do that? I really felt that they did. And there's no worse feeling. Ah, to be condemned. When we don't meet a standard. When somebody wants this and we can only provide this. When we tried to do our best and it didn't measure up. And we feel we've let them down. Sometimes we condemn ourselves. Sometimes the voice that's condemning us that's so loud is our own voice, based on what we think somebody else wants or somebody else needs or somebody else's standards. The voice of condemnation is not godly love. It's not the godly voice. It's not why Jesus came. And through Jesus, there is no condemnation. I love that. That means a lot to me. I am not a condemned building. I have value. I'm not the best looking building. I can't do some things that other buildings can. I can't house a family of eight. I can't provide certain things like a good building might. But there's a purpose for me. And God loves me. So what does this all mean? What's our true north today? I want you to know that the opposite of condemnation is why Jesus came, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness. You see, he knows that I'm not perfect. He knows already that I get distracted, that all of my motives don't line up with all the things I want them to line up with, that sometimes I get distracted. Sometimes, despite my best efforts, I fall down and I fail. I'm not alone in acknowledging that. You know, I know there's some really good people here, some pretty close to perfect people here, but even the best of us sometimes fall short. And forgiveness is required in all of our relationships. If you think that you can get through a relationship with somebody that you care about and not have to offer forgiveness, that gap between expectations and reality is really big. Right? It just is. It just is. So what does it mean to condemn? Let's look at the definition of condemn. to say in a strong and definite way that someone or something is bad or wrong. I've been condemned in that way. To give someone a usually severe punishment. Have you felt that kind of punishment? To cause someone to suffer or live in difficult or unpleasant conditions. How can they learn this lesson unless they feel that they did wrong? I'm going to act mad until they really get it. I'm not going to talk to them until they really understand what they did to me. Until they've suffered as much as they made me suffer, I'm not going to love them. And it goes on and on and on. Good people sometimes do not very smart things. You don't understand why they did what they did, but you know it hurt. You know it hurt. I'm not dismissing the pain, but I don't think our response, if it's condemnation, is going to provide what they need or what you need. And so the opposite of condemnation is forgiveness. We've been talking the last couple weeks, we started with faith, and then last we talked about, you know, hope, and we're talking about love this week. Next week, we're going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to talk about how that impacts faith, hope, and love. You see, we all must be forgiven. We get that, right? But do we really get how much forgiveness that we also have to give? We love it when people set aside the things we've done wrong and say, okay, I love you. Okay, let's be like we were. And so we appreciate it, but we are slow sometimes to give it out. So today we talked about a few things, and I'll wrap it up with this slide here, I think. The application is that I believe that love is a gift. That real love creates a we. It moves you past the me, myself, and I perspective. That true love is given in a way that we become a we, and the way that we communicate, and the way that we accomplish things together. Deep love comes through sacrifice. John saw it in what Jesus said and what he did and how he lived and how he died. Forgiveness is the key to lasting love. So what are we going to think about this week? Something to work on. I'm not saying that you're doing this, but I'm wondering, who am I still condemning that I should be loving? Somebody speaking loud to me. Who am I still condemning that I should be loving? And do I look for love in worldly ways or heavenly ways? Those are things to think about. Am I looking for love in the way the world defines it or the way that God defined it? And be honest and look. Worship team, if you guys could come back up. I want to read to you what love is. And this is an amazing verse on love. This is godly defined love. It doesn't get any better than this. This is not about a fleeting feeling or emotion where love makes you feel good. This is about the we. This is about the sacrifice. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm just going to read verses 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. love never ends. And that is love. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I pray now that your words today, your love today, is something that we can understand and know. Better than what the world offers is what you offer. And I pray that we reach out to you, that we ask for your love to be in our hearts. I thank you for this church and for the many things that you'd have us do, and for the way that you've answered prayers here even today. Bless this church, bless these people, be with them this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. If you've got some littles in the pre-K nursery, go rescue them. If you want signs, get the signs. We got hope and love signs to go on your lawn. The Guatemala team meeting will be downstairs in a few minutes, so we can get set up for that. Thank you. See you next week.